You're listening to The Music Show on RN. Vivid, Sydney's annual festival of light music and ideas, started on Friday, and one of the big attractions this year is The Cure performing their classic album Disintegration at the Sydney Opera House. It's 30 years since the album first came out, one critic describing it at the time as about as much fun as losing a limb. We've invited Paul Gough along to The Music Show to talk to us all about it. Well, that's the opening of Plain Song. That's track one from Disintegration by The Cure. And we haven't heard anybody sing yet. And in fact, it's going to be about another minute before anybody does. This, apart from many other things, is an album of long intros. Paul Gough, welcome back to the show.
Thank you very much, Andy. Good to be with you.
Let's talk about the moment that this came out. This is an album which, in a sense, redefines The Cure, isn't it?
Well, it does, because I am a fan of their early work, and I think of the track A Forest, which shows a young Robert Smith, the video clip, with a very sort of short crop hairstyle. But the prominent sound of The Cure at that point was the bass lines. They were big. They were like Joy Division. Peter Hook is probably the closest to the sound of Simon Gallup's work. And from that arc, they went into the doomier kind of sounds with Faith, which is a very monochrome album. Pornography was like the first burst of, if you want to call it, a more gothic sound. And then suddenly they became quirky and skittery with great hits like The Love Cats and In Between Days and Close to Me. And off the back of that into the following album, Kiss Me, Kiss Me, Kiss Me. I think Robert Smith had sort of dabbled with the top 40 fandom and you know, was looking at his life, wanting to create his great moment. And, you know, you think of, you know, how old he was, 29, moving into 30. I think of how old I am and thinking about trying to make a masterpiece. He was not in a happy place.
He was determined to make one before he was 30, wasn't he?
Yeah, this is what he wanted to do. I mean, one would look back and think that he had success. He had great hits, because any party I go to now, if I drop Close to Me, or if I dropped A Forest, or any of those mid-period Cure, people go nuts. They love it. So he has made a legacy even at that point. I guess only time got to tell you this fact. So he wanted to write this sort of opus, this great series of songs, and he locked himself away. He wrote it on his own and went to the band and said, look, if you don't like it, I'm releasing this as a solo album.
Yes, and when in many ways it is a solo album still, don't you think?
It is. I think, you know, he has said and the band have said that they did contribute. So he has sort of brought it back to that point. But it certainly, in a lyrical sense, reflects someone who is in this place. But it's not all darkness. And I think the thing about this album, it gets talked about as being gloomy or depressing. I don't really see it. Musically, I don't really feel it as much as that. It's, in fact, not until the track Prayers for Rain come in where the lyrics really start to get incredibly dark. But it's made me think about this music, and I think if you are someone who doesn't get it, it will be depressing. But if you're someone that's going through, well, if you're a teen with angst and you're not feeling so great, you can really relate to Robert Smith and his music, and it is a place of comfort. It's a place to wallow in your despair.
That's right. Yes, that's right. You don't, when you're feeling down, you don't want cheery music. You want music that's going to help you get through feeling down. So you want something that's feeling the same as you.
Exactly. And yet there are still moments on there that are really beautiful. You think of Love Song, and it's the first time that Robert was able to express his emotion of love through his music. And it's a really powerful song on the album.
Well, let's listen to a little bit of a Love Song so that we know what you're talking about here. Whenever I'm alone with you, you make me feel like I'm Home Again, Whole Again. That's Robert Smith singing with The Cure, Love Song, from the album Disintegration, which came out 30 years ago, and we're talking about it on today's music show with Paul Gough, because The Cure are in Sydney performing it live at the Sydney Opera House. Yeah, that's just a love song. He just got married, hadn't he?
Yeah, he'd been married, and it was his gift to his wife. His wife also features on another track, Pictures of You. It was, I think they were recording it, and his wallet nearly burnt with the photos in it, and it made him think of her and what that meant and how important that was. So that song, while not specifically about that moment, it inspired the track Pictures for You. Even the picture sleeve for that single features his wife on the cover. So I think this, what it is his ability to deal with all those emotions. And I guess that's why it probably appeals to a teen audience in a sense, or someone who has a great connection to their feelings, because he deals with love and love unrequited and love found and you know, dealing with loss and feeling forlorn. I think that's the power of his music. He really is able to lock in. And I think that in the success of this album in America comes off the back of a couple of things. The rise of college radio, which was giving more and more sort of underground status to less mainstream rock and roll. And I was actually living in Canada at the time and doing some radio, and I saw how big this album was when it came out there. And I think leading into that, all those John Hughes films, you know, like Pretty in Pink and Breakfast Club, they always sort of had that sort of sort of almost emo character that liked something that was a bit quirkier and odd. And I think that played into the audience along with college radio and gave The Cure their stamp, because as you note, to this album, the record company were aghast when it came out. Yes. They said they were being willfully obscure, and they saw no way that an album that contained songs that ran between 7 and 9 minutes was going to yield a hit. And yet it became their most successful album.
Yes, and it's ironic in many ways. I mean, in a sense, they were being willfully obscure, weren't they? Because one of the things that Robert Smith really detested was fame and success and popularity. And here he gets it wrong again in a way, because he puts out this album and it becomes, you know, this huge hit.
Well, you know, they really all got it wrong. If that's what he was doing, I mean, perhaps he was just really pursuing that artistic bent. But the record companies got it wrong because they just were, as I said, they really didn't see how this was going to work. Even the critics who said, as you said at the start, like Losing a Limb, that they just saw it as being dour and awful, and who would even like this album? Well, who liked this album but those kids that were struggling with all the things that Robert was singing about, and they bought it.
It's quite a unified album, isn't it? I mean, Love Song leads to Last Dance, leads to Lullaby, which is a weird song, and Prayers for Rain leads into, well, The Sound of Rain, in fact, at the start of Same Deep Water. Maybe we should listen to a moment of Same Deep Water as You, because we should talk about the sound of this album. It's very synthy. Let's listen. That's a little of Same Deep Water as You, and that's from The Cure's album Disintegration, 30 years old, and The Cure are in Sydney performing it at the moment, and Paul Gough at the moment is here on the music show talking about it. Yeah, the sound of this record, it's a beautiful thing, isn't it? It's very layered, very detailed.
Exactly. From that opening, it's incredibly lush and atmospheric. And, you know, going back to that, I think of it as majestic, big sky music, except the skies are grey but are not blue. You know, you often hear music that reminds you of being out in the countryside. And I feel that there is that just slightly gloomy feel to the release. But as you say, the synthesizer work of Roger O'Donnell is phenomenal. I mean, he'd had a background playing with the Thompson Twins and Psychedelic Furs, and had been brought into the studio because of difficulties with Robert Smith's lifelong friend in Lowell Tolhurst, who started back in those early days as the metronomic drummer in songs like A Forest, and slowly started to play more keys, but was struggling with alcoholism. And the rest of the band were really frustrated by this. Add to that Smith coming in and feeling like he wanted to create an atmosphere of depression almost by not talking to anyone during the sessions. So you had this quite disintegration was sort of appearing in front of their eyes. But sadly, Lowell, when he came to the studio during the mixing phase, was finally asked to leave the band. And his contributions were fairly minimal to the release, but it was Roger O'Donnell whose lush synth work. The thing that I think of with The Cure from the very start and right through is the bass sound, as I said at the start. Simon Gallup's bass playing is just wonderful. It's brought back a little, and it's also, I guess, made to give it that sort of more atmospheric feel, whereas those early Cure songs had that as the driving force.
And the bass and drums were often the first thing to be sorted, weren't they?
Yeah, that's right. Absolutely. You know, it's interesting because you mentioned before Lullabies being a kind of a weird song. It's kind of the closest to any of the other quirkier Cure songs, whereas it's more of a somber tone than the sort of the, as I said, the Love Cats. And you see the video clip and Smith sort of, you know, gesturing his arms and moving around quite in a almost slightly clown-esque fashion.
Well, look at the makeup as well. You know, I mean, he looks like the Joker, doesn't he? Well,
exactly.
Like the Joker's demented grandmother. Right?
Yeah, that sort of was interesting. So I tried to figure when that was. And looking at, for example, the clip to The Forest, I forgot how closely shorn his hair was. But the single that came off the album after that, Faith Primary, is when you start to see the hair is a bit longer, the face is a bit paler, but certainly as he got into that more pop phase, they accentuated the lipstick and the eyeliner, which is when that whole kind of, I guess that was like a little invitation for those who were skirting with the struggles. It became like a badge of honour to wear that as a sign of being different.
Let's listen to a little bit of the very creepy Lullaby.
Blissfully looking for faint shimmering bed, searching out fear in the gathering gloom, and suddenly over in the corner of the room.
That's Lullaby, or a bit of Lullaby, from The Cure's Disintegration. And we're talking about Disintegration on its 30th anniversary with Paul Gough, who's nice to hear his voice again on Radio National. All right, let's sum it up, shall we? The legacy of this album, Paul.
I think really what this does for me, it is Robert Smith reflecting on those earlier days, perhaps looking at that middle period where, as I said, created a lot of pop hits. Perhaps it was, I don't know what demands were placed upon him by record companies, but certainly this was him striking out and saying, I'm going to do what I want. And he had said quite clearly too that record companies never got or never will get what The Cure are about. I think it was him, you know, dealing with his own struggles in a cathartic fashion and going back to a sound that was what he wanted, grand, atmospheric, but, you know, skirted with doom and gloom. And I think after that, their music, while I probably didn't listen as intently to their other albums, it doesn't have that same gravitas as it does on this particular release. And I think it came out at the right time, at a period, particularly in the US where it was so huge, where that whole college rock thing was on momentum, and they became that kind of face or that voice for that underground sound that was moving, morphing into the mainstream.
Paul Gough, thank you very much indeed for being my guest on The Music Show and talking about The Cure's album Disintegration. It's been good to chat.
Nice chatting with you, Andy.
And The Cure are at the Sydney Opera House for Vivid. Of course, it's all sold out. They're there until Tuesday. If you want to go and at least stand outside the Sydney Opera House while they perform. One of the things I've always liked about this album is that even though it's full of technology and synthesizers, it ends with the sound of a simple harmonium. So we might as well listen to the end of the album now. And we're listening to Untitled. That's the untitled final track of Disintegration. At least it's called Untitled. Maybe that's its title. That's how the album ends, The Cure. There'll be a live stream of the final Cure concert from the Sydney Opera House as part of Vivid next Thursday night. And also, our friends at Double J have done a special J-Files episode on this album, and you can find links to both of those things if you go to the Music Show's website, as you should on a regular basis. This week's programmes were produced by Ellie Parnell and Jeff Wood. Sound engineers were David Lawford and Hamish Camilleri. See you next week.